We praise and thank God for the health and strength that can come to God's house to worship Him and to hear His word. Very quickly, we are now into the second last chapter of Acts. And you recall in the last few weeks, we've been studying on chapter 22 to 26 on the defense of Paul. From there, we learned this Greek word, apologia, the defense, and from there, apologetics, the study of the defense of the faith. So Paul's defense and testimony was so strong that King Agrippa, ruler of Palestine, said that he was almost persuaded to be a Christian, and we learned that last Sunday. So since Paul appealed to Caesar regarding the charges laid by the high priest and the elders, King Agrippa had to send him to Rome. So this is the context of chapter 27. And we know that this journey saw him sailed by the coastal cities from Caesarea via Cyprus to a place called Myra, then later on to Crete, and they have a shipwreck at Malta. And in verse 1, we read that on board the ship, he was guarded by troops from the Augustus regiment, and there was a centurion in charge by the name of Julius. So presumably that's part of the royal guards who were based in Palestine. So today's sermon is a topical study on leadership. It's not meant for those who are only in leadership positions, but it's meant for all of us here that we can learn from Paul and to understand and learn from him and how to demonstrate initiative to serve the Lord during a time of need. I want to begin by telling you a story. This is, I call it the M&M story. It started with a young girl who has shown great initiative, okay, who has great care for her baby brother, because her baby brother had to be put away. While the baby brother was floating in a basket by the riverbank, she kept a distance away to make sure that he was safe. And when a royal person found this basket and had compassion towards the baby, she appeared very quickly and offered to get a nurse for the baby. So we all know this story very well. That's the story of Miriam and Moses, as we learn from Exodus chapter 2. So Miriam showed great initiative to make sure her baby brother was safe and eventually arranged for their mother to nurse him. In a time of family crisis, Miriam was calm. Miriam allowed the Lord to use her. Okay, with clever thinking and quick wit, she saved Moses. And eventually Moses was raised up in the royal court and being used by the Lord to save his people from slavery. So from Miriam, a young girl, we can learn something about leadership. Okay, the courage to take initiative and make a difference. I think for those who study this topic a lot, I'll just quickly sum up. You know, generally, there are two types of leadership. You can read that from the book or open source. Number one is positioner, by virtue of appointment to a position of power. Or personality, okay, personal influence due to the effects of personality. I'd like to propose that it can also be the third kind, which is providential. That is trusted upon us to serve God's purpose. And we see this form of leadership very much in chapter 27 in Acts. And this is a wonderful topic for us to study as we read how Paul was moved by the Lord to achieve his will. We have read the long passage, 44 verses in chapter 27. And from there we know that Paul intervened 4 times during the course of his journey on board the ship. And this morning we want to very quickly look through and study what kind of attributes were demonstrated by Paul, and this is something that we can learn. You know, in the first intervention by Paul, this is taken from verses 9 to 11. We read in verse 10 that Paul warned against sailing off from the fair heavens, okay, south of Crete, since they missed the time of sailing. The wind and the tide conditions have changed. True enough, they encountered a strong wind known as Euroclydon, which is the northeast wind. Remember, they had a soft, gentle south wind that was blowing, and said, oh, maybe coming from the south, they're heading north, that's the right direction. But Euroclydon was coming from northeast, right? There's a change of wind direction. They sailed near to the island of Clauda with fear of grounding and underwent a 3-day-long tempest. The ship was lightened to improve the control, and hence goods, merchandise were thrown overboard. And we read that in verse 18 as well. I think here Paul demonstrated the initiative to intervene. He didn't feel that as a person in custody, that he wasn't the centurion, he wasn't the person in charge, he was not on duty, he wasn't asked to do anything. It was not his business to care about sailing or about safety. So we know that Paul wasn't a sleeping passenger. He was in fact a self-motivated, engaged passenger. Showing initiative tells others that we care. Example we can learn about someone who cares is from Miriam. I just came across this verse. I thought it's wonderful to share with you that even in Micah 6:4, Miriam was being mentioned. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So Miriam was highlighted here as a leader in the Bible. So she was the one who cared about her baby brother at a young age, cared about the welfare of Israel, and supported Moses in the wilderness. Someone who followed the affairs keenly that's around her. Someone who showed initiative, someone who cares. Okay. So this is leadership in action. I remember that, so those who are of my era, that during our YF days, our Saturday message was held in the open hall in the kindergarten block. And after the message, normally we will just rush off and leave a big mess in the hall. So on several occasions, I'll see a Sunday school teacher who will come to arrange the place. Very quickly, within 10 minutes, you just clear up the litter, arrange the chairs, and prepare the place for Sunday school the next day, and he'll be gone. Quietly, in my heart, I was very impressed to see an adult, a working adult, come on Saturday evening, prepare the place for Sunday school the next day. So this teacher took his duty seriously, and when you care, you show the initiative to go the extra mile. Okay, no one will force you, but you do it because you care. I'll go on to the second intervention from Paul. That's taken from verse 20 to 26. Okay, after encountering the strong wind, they were on sea for several more days without much progress. We read in the Bible that fear was growing as the dark clouds around them meant that they could not set course. They couldn't find the right bearing and the direction they should go. So the crew felt hopeless and thought they will perish very soon. So at this time, Paul came to exhort them with the Lord's words. He told them that the angel of the Lord spoke to him. And he did not just keep the words in his heart. The Lord spoke to him, and he shared the words with the people. Okay? He told them that the angel of the Lord prophesied that they would be preserved, but the ship will be lost, and they will be landed in an island. Okay, we read that in the verse 26. So we see that Paul used God's word to encourage others and give them the message of hope and cheer. So we see that being spiritually minded in our service is a very important attribute. Okay, we shouldn't be using our own words, our own opinion, our own training, right, to serve the Lord, but to be spiritually minded using God's word to help us. So having this spiritual sight based on the Bible and having this spiritual insight to discern God's will is important because it will help us to be prosperous in the Lord's business. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, we are told that the church is supposed to choose deacons, right? We'll talk about in Greek, doulos, servants, those in service, who are of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Choosing people who are spiritually minded. Not just as deacons, but any servant. Let's say you are doulos, you are servant of the Lord, you are serving the Lord. Anyone, when you touch God's word, must be spiritually minded. So Stephen was one filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit to testify for God. And that kind of spirit we're talking about. And likewise, we also learn from Paul, from chapter 22 to 26, we read that in the last few weeks, about his defense. He spoke in Hebrew, okay, to the Jews, in Greek to the officers, the governors, regarding the mighty acts of God and the sovereignty of God. You know, this is only possible. I'm not sure any of us can just stand up here and say, I'm here to defend my faith and tell you my testimony. Okay, I think this is only possible because he was very close to God. Okay. He was fully convicted of the Holy Spirit, filled of the Spirit, and able to speak with authority. And this is something for us to reflect. This morning, if you look upon ourselves, how many of us are walking just like Paul with great strength, authority, and conviction? Or are we walking around the church in a deflated manner, just like a balloon that is not fully inflated? So may the Lord help us, empower us with His Spirit, the Spirit that is not of fear, but is of love, of power, and of a sound mind, that the Lord will fill out His Spirit and arm us with His Word to serve Him. If there's an example that I'd like to share with you this morning about an Old Testament character of a king, there's a great example, encouragement to us. I'd like to introduce King Jehoshaphat. He was a king of Judah, and during his reign, he had great and strong enemies who were around him, surrounding him, so he had a difficult reign. And he was a great-grandson of Solomon, in case you are wondering, right? The king of Judah, the lineage. The Bible recorded he had great fear when he heard of being attacked by the combined forces of the Moabites, Ammonites, and Edomites, three forces together. I think we heard so much about warfare and fightings in the news that we become down to all these things. But to Jehoshaphat, this was a real crisis for him. What was the first instinct? Was it to mobilize the people and get angry? His first instinct was to commit the matter to God. He commanded a fast in the whole Judah, gathered the people to pray at the temple, to seek the Lord's direction. And recorded in 2 Chronicles 20, the Lord created confusions among his enemies, leading to fratricide, self-destruction in a military coalition, and gave Israel total victory. And that's how the Lord blessed him, because he sought the Lord first. He had a fast, prayer, and praise to the Lord. And when we seek the Lord will guide us and help us with our troubles. We have to trust in the Lord's providence and trust in the Lord's miraculous help. The Lord can perform miracles and help us in our lives. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God, as we read in the Bible. So as we serve the Lord, always let's learn from Paul as well. Let's refer to the Bible and God's word as our authority. And let the biblical truths guide our planning, our decision making, in our committee's planning, in our agenda for the next year. All right? May the Lord help us in this aspect. Not to his own glory, our own training, own intellectual, for the promotion of ourselves or for our own cause. So when King Jehoshaphat set up judges, he was a wise king, he set up judges in the land to help him. He gave them a very strong charge, and I thought I'll share this charge with all of us here as a reminder as we serve the Lord. Okay, this verse, okay, from 2 Chronicles 19:6, he said, "For ye judge not for men, but for the king." Okay, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. You judge not for men. So you're not judging for me as a king. You're not judging because you are serving the country, all right, or for a certain tribe that you're doing for, or for yourself, or for your office. Important that we judge, we serve, not for men, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. So this is so true as servants of the Lord. No matter what position we are in, no matter what post we are doing for the Lord, we do it for the Lord, because we're appointed by the Lord. Okay? So as ambassadors for Christ, we carry the words of the Master. We don't carry our own words, our own opinions. Okay, with that, I will go on to the third intervention from Paul. That's taken from verse 30 to 32. So in the next encounter, the ship was out of control. We read that in the passage as well. There was a midnight storm, and they realized they were only about 10 meters away from the rocky shore of an island. Okay, what does that mean? I think probably to the soldiers, the centurions, and the rest of the troops, they may not be very familiar. But to the sailors, they knew that 10 meters from the shore, it can hit the rocks anytime. All right, there could be a shipwreck. So the sailors were very smart. In verse 30, the shipmen or the sailors thought they will go aground very soon, and shipwreck was imminent. So they lowered the safety boat quietly, secretly, to escape. And who saw that? That was Paul. Paul told the centurion not to let the sailors escape by the safety boat. If the sailors were to escape, the rest on board will be doomed, as they will not be able to helm the ship back to safety. So Paul gave a good piece of advice and was gratefully accepted by the centurion. He was seen as a trustworthy man, and a leader must always be found to be so. And we also read earlier in verse 10 that Paul was also knowledgeable on the conditions of sailing, and he made a good judgment. So we need people who are wise to apply practical knowledge to serve God. It's important that practical knowledge is important, plus wisdom. So let us use the talents that God has given us, okay, to serve Him. We know that skills, talents, and wisdom are blessings from the Lord. In the Old Testament, you know, good tailors are needed. Why are they needed? They are needed to make the high priest's garment. In Exodus 28:3, it mentioned that their skills and wisdom were given by the Lord. When you serve the Lord, your skills and your wisdom were given by Him. What about others during that time who are good in mathematics and engineering, and they are, in fact, inventors? What can they do? They can serve as military engineers to construct catapults and weapons, right? To shoot arrows, stones, for the defense of their kingdom. And we read that in 2 Chronicles 26:15. King Uzziah has such an engineering branch in his military. While others, as we read in the Old Testament, they serve as carpenters, artisans, workers to build and furnish the temple, Solomon, the temple of God. Skills, talents, wisdom, all given by the Lord to serve His purpose. I thought I was going to share something that's a more modern example, how we can use our skills to help us in our secular profession for God's glory. Florence Nightingale from Britain, we all know the story that she was known as the Lady with the Lamb. She offered her skills to care for the wounded soldiers during the Crimean War in the mid-19th century. So that's not the current Crimean War that you're hearing, all right? That was more than 100 years ago, all right? She set new standards of hygiene and living standards for the wounded soldiers. So there was improvement in sanitation, improvement in ventilation in the military hospitals as a result. And they learned how to fight diseases at the same time as curing the wounds of the soldiers. We all know that her impact was so great that this nursing system of care and hygiene is now a gold standard in all hospitals, something that we take for granted all the time. Something about her, as a gutsy lady of action and a firm believer, she had this saying to provoke people to action. So she's someone who doesn't like just sit on the pills and on a seat all the time, but a lady of action. And she said, "I think one's feelings waste themselves in words. They ought all to be distilled into actions which bring results." And she said, "Ought to be distilled into actions which bring results." So to her, it's less talking, but more walking, right? More action. That's for her. What about someone who used his writings to brighten the world with Christian values? And that's Charles Dickens. I know his books were a must-read for all students, probably in the past. Okay, people are not reading so much nowadays. But since it's Christmas is coming, I'd like to share this famous book, okay? A Christmas Carol, okay, written by him. Through the Christian morality tale, he reintroduced the values of love, compassion, and kindness. Meanwhile, in the book, he also exposed the vanity of wealth and greed to a world that turned cold to all these values. God used his talents to influence many readers. That time until now and to today, God likewise can use the talents He's given to us to make a difference to this world. So let us be sensitive to God's calling. Let us be sensitive to the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit and never say no to any opportunity to serve. I'll go on to the fourth intervention from Paul. That's taken from verse 33 to 36. When the storm has passed, Paul asked them to eat and nourish themselves. You read that from the passage there. He assured them that the Lord will preserve them. He then led them in prayer and thanksgiving for safety and food. After the Lord has delivered us, do not forget to give God the glory and thanksgiving. So Paul led the thanksgiving to God and pointed them to God. Then that's important. He's an encourager, one who is quick to attribute goodness to God and empowers by example. He led by example, urging others to trust God and give God the glory. You know, as we serve the Lord, the spirit of staying optimistic and trusting God is important. There are often times that we get so discouraged that we say, "I'm going to leave church, I'm going to leave the committee, I'm going to leave the ministry, okay, because I feel tired or there are some issues that I can't resolve." Okay, we're going to face that all the time because it's a test of faith. If everything's so smooth, I don't think the Lord will need us here. And in the Old Testament, you see that Joshua and Caleb, they encourage the nation after their spying mission. Some responded, or majority responded, on the extreme difficulty in overcoming the sons of Anak. Who are those people? Okay, they are tall giants, so huge that they felt like grasshoppers before them. Okay, but Joshua focused on the possibilities. He focused on the grace of God and said, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land." It's not about us. It's not about my strength or how tall I am. What can I do, all right? But it's about the Lord. If the Lord delight in us, the Lord will bring us into this land. So the possibilities all come from the Lord. Let us continue to trust in the Lord. And there's a teaching from John MacArthur in his book, the book on leadership. And there's one aspect he mentioned. Like us, we serve as servants, as leaders, to focus on the objectives and not the obstacles. Okay, objectives and not obstacles. So we see that this thinking is very much in use here based on our faith in God. Be an encourager and strengthen others. Elizabeth encouraged Mary at her pregnancy due to the fear of the unknown. Philemon was an encourager to Paul and be one that someone can say that, oh, it's because of you, that's why I stayed on, that's why I stayed on to serve the Lord. And because of you, you refresh my bowels in the Lord. I hope that we won't be the one being accused to be the obstacle and creating problems for others. So let us look out for opportunities to help others and be a source of love and encouragement. There was a story of Napoleon meeting his old soldier. Okay, he met after his escape from the island of Elba, and while gathering his forces for his last battle at Waterloo. So he met the old soldier and said, hey, the soldier has been with his grand army for a long time. He said that, oh, I think you're too old to stay in the army. Why don't you retire? So in reply, the old soldier said, as long as I can squeeze the trigger, I am never too old to fight. So this is the spirit of service. We're never too old to contribute. We're never too old to be an example to others. Winston Churchill adopted the maxim of KBO in his speeches and phone conversation with his staff during World War II, when Britain was badly pressurized by Nazi Germany. KBO, keep buggering on or keep plodding on. Sometimes in life, we just gotta keep doing that, all right? Keep going on. It shows a fighting spirit, tenacity, and grit in a time of difficulty. So we cannot be like a carrot that is very hard and very strong only in the room temperature. Okay, we know you'll turn soft in boiling water. So let us don't turn soft, or we turn negative, or we encounter difficulties in our course of service for the Lord. Another example is Brother Andrew, a Dutch missionary. He was known as God's smuggler. I think some of you have read his story, know about that. He smuggled Bibles to the communist states in East Europe during the Cold War period. But he's known for his positive attitude in service. It's challenging, it's not easy. I'm not sure if you had the faith to do that. It's not easy. But he's always positive, and he has got an interesting prayer before passing through the various checkpoints. His prayer was in Dutch, but it was being translated to English. It was quite long, but allow me just to have my best attempt on this simple paraphrase. Okay, he said, Lord, in my car are Bibles and materials for the children. Since you have made the blind to see, now please make the seeing eyes blind so that the guards will not discover them. Okay, that was his prayer of faith, simple as that, alright? I hope that we have this kind of faith as well, okay, like Brother Andrew. Okay, stay the course, encourage others to exercise faith and trust God in our service. So in the course of service, it's always about trusting God and exercising our faith. If I allow me just to sum up what I've covered in chapter 27 about leadership attributes in application. Okay, I have a chart down here, about 4 points that we learned about Bible-based service. Encourage others, self-motivated, and using our talent for the Lord. Okay, so I've summed up, if the slides can be shown, okay, in this framing, known as BEST, all right, B-E-S-T, with a reordering of the 4 points. So next, as we learn the 4 points of leadership, okay, that sum up from chapter 27, learning from Paul, we also need to ask whether are we in a state of crisis in the church. If we're not in a crisis, they say, oh, all these are not relevant anymore. It's meant for somebody else, right? Not meant for me. If you read the Bible, I think the answer is a very firm yes. The church is under siege, and we are having a spiritual warfare against the evil one. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We fight not against flesh and blood, but it's against principality, against powers. It's against rulers of darkness. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. Many in this world are deceived and remain in the kingdom of darkness. On the other hand, believers are easily lured into complacency, worldliness, and became inactive. You know, John Bunyan, in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, he mentioned the progress of a pilgrim, the journey of a pilgrim, is filled with hazards and temptations until we reach the celestial city. So we should not take a cozy, relaxed view of our precious faith that the Lord has given to us. So next question. Beyond the universal church, what about our local church? Okay, for our church, let me share 3 areas we can work on. I think the level of participation in the church is something that we can work on. It's something, it's a fact that we have a low percentage of people who are active in service, and there are so many people who are actually stayed away from the church. Since the COVID reopening, we're a good 20-25% of people are still on online worship regularly. So what kind of crisis? It's a crisis of non-participation while we're in the midst of warfare. I think for those in the national service will be familiar with the term called recon status, readiness condition. So we need to know whether are we recon 1 or much lower recon status. Okay. We just want to pray that the Lord will continue to help us, that our people will not be too busy and caught up such that we do not read God's word in a systematic manner, and it's something that we need to work on as well. And the third area that we can work on is our evangelistic fervor. Pastor has prayed that during the time of Christmas, the year end, may the Lord use us to be evangelists, to reach out to others, okay, so that more can be mobilized and serve the Lord. So these are the areas that the Lord has shown to us in our service for Him. It's something that we can apply. And these are the same issues that Paul has experienced, and he has demonstrated for us in the book of Acts on how to overcome them. So this is a framing that was being used. You know, Paul was someone who was very active in service, okay, after his conversion, using a Bible-based ministry. If you want to center on the Bible, what can we do in our life church? We must be willing to make the effort to feed ourselves strong meat, especially when we have the many avenues, okay, to do so that's available in the church. Number two, we continue to encourage others in our service. Stay optimistic, enthusiastic in our service for the Lord. You know, when Paul gave the advice, he was given the Bible, that he admonished the people not to sail. But his advice wasn't accepted, it was rejected. He didn't become angry or become depressed. And he said, okay, from now on, I'm not going to say a single word. Okay, I'm going to go back to my bunk to sleep. He didn't say that, but he trusted in God, encouraged himself, and stayed compliant to authority. He was not easily daunted. So let's remove our lethargy, encourage ourselves in the Lord, and continue to be a source of encouragement to the people around us. For those who have not been with us for a while, for service, for worship, look out for friends who are not here today. Can we call someone, encourage someone, and be of use to the Lord? Thirdly, Paul was someone who was highly driven, self-motivated, highly disciplined, and always trustworthy. You know, to be trustworthy means you have to be physically in church to serve the Lord, to serve the King. A service to the King means must come to His royal court to serve Him. And we can't serve the King if we are absent from the church. The Lord uses those who are available, okay, before you are reliable. Okay, so you must be available and then reliable. So likewise for us, we pray that we be self-motivated and driven, trustworthy like Paul, zealous to serve the Lord and make a difference wherever we can. And we know that Paul also used his talents. And I thank God for the many lifers in the midst who use our skills and wisdom to serve the Lord. And thank you for your service. And the Lord will continue to bless you. We know that your labor of love is appreciated by many, and the Lord is your rewarder. Okay. So leadership here, we are talking about having the courage to take an initiative to make a difference in our service for the Lord. So learn to be like Paul. I will now wrap up, and I'll end with a short story. Okay, this is my last slide. Just regarding a leader as well, a great man, Alexander the Great. On his deathbed, he summoned his generals and told them three ultimate wishes. He said three things. Number one, the best doctors should carry his coffin. He was at his deathbed, I think suffering from an illness. Best doctors should carry his coffin. Number two, the wealth he has accumulated, the money, gold, precious stones, etc., should be scattered along the procession to the cemetery. Number three, his hands should be let loose, hanging outside the coffin for all to see. I'm sure, have you all read this story or heard this story before? Of course, one of the generals was surprised with this wishes and asked him to explain why. So this is what Alexander the Great had to say. I want my own doctors to carry my coffin to demonstrate that in the face of death, even the best doctors in the world have no power to heal. I want the road to be covered with my treasure for everyone to see that the material wealth acquired on earth stays on earth. I want my hands to swing in the wind so that people understand that we come to this world empty-handed and we leave this world empty-handed. After the most precious treasure of all is exhausted, and that is time. So there's much to learn from the reflections of a dying man. They say that last words are lasting words, and maybe consider the point that is always true, that time is never on our side. So to make our life count is to serve the Lord and to live for Him. Earthly things will come and go. Our wealth will not follow us to the coffin. and city start, the British missionary said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. We wrap off with a passage from Romans chapter 13. A reminder for all of us this morning, and that knowing the time, that is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, and that's immorality and pleasures of life, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So may the Lord help us. Father, we pray that you even seal thy words in our hearts and not sin against thee. As we learn from your truth, we pray, O God, that you inspire us and revive us, that we be of use to thee wherever we go. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.